Matthew chapter 5. I praise the Lord just for the great music tonight. Many churches across America aren't open tonight. And if they are, I doubt they have as good of music as we do here at our church. And I appreciate so many people. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time that's involved, and people that give of themselves to practice the piano and the instruments and the songs. And I praise the Lord for that. I appreciate each of you who serve in that area. We've been looking at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. We know that the Sermon on the Mount is Christ's first sermon that he ever preached. He lived a perfect life and then began his earthly ministry in his early 30s. And we find here in chapter 5 that the Bible shares with us that a multitude have gathered and they're following Jesus Christ. And he brings himself up onto the mount, the Bible tells us. And there the people sit down, or he sits down, excuse me, and he begins to teach these followers about true happiness. You see, these people have been looking for happiness really in the wrong place. They were even looking in the scriptures, looking for an earthly king that would come and overthrow the Roman government and would set up his rule so that Israel would no longer be oppressed by the Roman government or by outside forces, but they would have a king from the line of David who would come, and they were looking for that person to come. And they thought perhaps it may be in the form of Jesus Christ. And while they were there on that mountain, they were looking for a miracle, but he desired to deliver a message. They wanted a savvy leader who would overthrow the Roman oppression. But Christ desired simply to be a servant leader who would give his life for them. They wanted someone to restore Israel to prominence and to set them free. But Jesus Christ simply wanted to restore Israel and the whole world to their right relationship with God the Father. And to free them, not from oppression of a country or of a nation, but to free them from religious formalism and hypocrisy that was so rampant in their day. They wanted him to rule on a throne, and so did he. But he wanted to rule on the throne of their heart. He wanted them to accept him as their Savior. And this does not do away with the millennial kingdom that will come one day. But Christ came, the Bible tells us, and is very clear that he came to give his life a ransom for many. There was no other reason for his coming but to fulfill the prophecies. The Israelites' religion was dead. The rituals were pointless and the prophecies were unfulfilled. But Jesus Christ came to give a point to those things and to fulfill their prophecies. We see the word blessed in the beginning of most of these verses, in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And that word blessedness, as we looked over the last 5 months, we understand that it is talking about a perfect happiness or a perfect blessedness. You know, as we go throughout the world, we see so many people that are trying to find happiness in their job. They're trying to find a perfect peace or a perfect joy in a vacation or in something they purchase at the store or something they watch on TV or some place that they go. We understand that those things are fun and they are to be enjoyed. The Lord has given us those things. He daily loads us with benefits. But if we're ever to experience true joy that comes from Jesus Christ, if we're ever to have the perfect blessedness that God wants us to have in this life, then we need to follow the instructions given for us here in the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We've looked in the past that the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who come to a point where they understand that they are depraved in their spiritual condition. And there's nothing good in of themselves, and they're simply looking for the kingdom of God. They're living for the kingdom of God. The cross before them, the world behind them, they've decided to follow Jesus and to lay up their treasures in heaven. In verse 4, we find that Christ says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's not the mourning over the loss of a loved one in this passage. It is the mourning over our sin that's offended a holy God, that's separated us from a relationship with Him. And when we get serious about our sin and our heart breaks over our sin, the Bible says that Christ will come down and He will comfort us. And we experience joy and peace and a relationship, a close, unhindered relationship with God. Blessed are the meek. This is those who are determined to let God in handle injustices. They're not after revenge. They're after being right with God. When we saw hungering and thirsting after righteousness, this is for those who would truly desire happiness in their life. They ought to be desperate for rightness. desperate for the words of righteousness which come from the Bible, desperate to have a right, close relationship with God and to be ordering their life according to the commands and the instructions of the Scripture. And then tonight we look, and the Bible tells us in verse number 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at different aspects of mercy tonight from this passage. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to gather together Your people and to preach Your Word. And Lord, I think every person in here desires to be happy. The problem is many times we try to plow our own way to happiness. And I pray that we just look at these simple instructions that You gave some 2,000 years ago. And Lord, help us to depend on the Holy Spirit to follow these and to implement them into our life. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for all that You do for us. And we ask Your blessing in this service now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to first notice mercy defined. Exactly what is mercy? I'll give you this definition. If you're taking notes tonight, it would be making the case of another your own. Mercy is a compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an offender. It is the unwillingness to make yourself feel good by hurting someone else. It is a willingness to forgo personal ease for someone else. It is not feeling sorry for someone. It's not condoning sin. It's not overlooking sin. It's not being a pushover. It's not neutrality or refusing to take a stand or compromising on something. But mercy is the work of the Holy Spirit that puts me last and others first. It is the attitude that says, I would rather hurt than see you hurt. Mercy defined. Taking on the cause of another. Secondly, maybe notice mercy demonstrated. Why should we show mercy in our life? It's because of the mercy that was demonstrated to us so long ago by Jesus Christ. When He left heaven and He came to this earth, He took upon the form of a man and became obedient unto death. He was merciful to us. We see, first of all, of His mercy that was demonstrated to us, that it is an undeserved mercy. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." You understand tonight, if you're sitting here, you will not get into heaven. You will not experience the mercy of God because of something you've done. The type of person you are, the qualities that you have in your life. We went to Soling last week and we were knocking on some doors, and I met a man that I kind of remember talking to some years ago, as we've knocked on his door before. And I talked to this guy, his name was James, he's 83 years old, and I say, "James, if you died today, do you know for certain your sins are forgiven? Do you know you're on the way, your way to heaven?" And his response, so typical of so many people that live in this town, said, "You know what, I'm a pretty good person. I'm an alright guy." And I began to try to explain to him why that wasn't exactly the best way or the right way to think about it. And I tried to share with him even this passage in Titus, that it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy. And sadly, he just let me know, hey, that's my story. And that's the end of it. He really didn't want any help. But you understand tonight, if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, the mercy that God wants to extend to you, it will not come when you get good enough. It will not come after you've ordered your life correctly and everything's in order, because it doesn't really matter what you do. The mercy that we experience through salvation by Jesus Christ is totally undeserved. People that are saved tonight understand, you did nothing to get saved. Simply accept the gift. Christ did it all when He died on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You understand, when Jesus Christ, we weren't even special to Christ. We weren't even necessarily tonight, most of us perhaps, not even the chosen people, the chosen nation of Christ. We weren't even His people. We could look at it this way. We weren't even really on the radar. But God, through His great mercy, extended it to us. And now, because of Christ and what He did on the cross and His mercy, dying for me in my place on the cross, we are now the people of God. And we can now have the mercy of God. Isn't it great to get an undeserved gift? And that's what mercy is. God took on our cause. He became flesh. Undeserved mercy. I'd like you to notice also this mercy is unlimited. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath He quickened." The reason that He quickened us is because we were lost, because we were depraved, because we were wicked, because we were dead. In verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." You understand that the mercy of God tonight is unlimited. In Psalm 145 and verse 8, the psalmist says, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of a great mercy." His mercy is unlimited. Look, there is sometimes we talk to people, and they say, "Well, I'd like to get saved, but you don't understand what I've done. Yeah, really, I'd like to be used of God, but you don't understand my past, and the sins are too great, and the list is too long, and the infractions are too many, and I just don't think that there's anything that I can do. There's no really turning back. Understand tonight, no matter who you are, or where you've been, or what you've done, understand that the mercy of God is unlimited. It reaches down to the lowest of sinners. His mercy is also unending. The Bible says in Psalm 136, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And the verse 2 of that passage says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 4, "To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 24, "And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 25, "Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever." In times when you feel like you have nothing, remember, Christian, tonight you have the unending, the unlimited, the undeserved mercy of God. Praise the Lord. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Jeremiah said, "I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." You know, sometimes we wake up and we remember someone that did something to us from the next day, and we have this thought, and maybe it's just me, we have this thought, said, "That person says that again today, I'm going to take them out. You know, if they do that again, I'm just going to." But you know, I'm so thankful that's not the way God acts. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. It's like His nerves haven't been worn at all by us and our mistakes and our shortcomings. And God's demonstrated this great mercy to us. Understand tonight that your clothes will tear and they will fade. Your car will rust and your food will spoil and your money will be spent and your vacation will end and your license will expire and your friends will forget you. Your eyesight will fade. Your memory will get foggy. Your stamina will fatigue and your steps will falter. But the mercies of God never fail. Praise the Lord. We see His mercy demonstrated to us. Romans tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But then in Romans 12, we are told that it's the mercies of God that compel us to be the living sacrifice that God desires for us to be. You know, sometimes we get so good at being saved. We know all the songs. We know where to park. We know where to sit. We know what to say. We know how to act. We know where to go. We know what to do. And we begin to think that we've done something to gain God's favor. We begin to look down our nose at people who don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. And we forget that even in our saved condition, our righteousnesses are still filthy rags. It is God's mercy that saves us. It is God's mercy that keeps us. Anything good in us is God in us. Anything good in us is God in us. His mercy is demonstrated and it is unlimited, unending, and undeserved. You know, it's sad tonight, but many times mercy from God is denied. God demonstrates His mercy to every person on the face of the earth, but many times people deny that mercy. They won't allow it access into their life. They will not accept the gift of mercy when Christ died on the cross. In Luke 16:25, we find the true story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the Bible says that both of these men died. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. He was in the presence of the presence of God. And the rich man died also. And the Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and the flame, and seeing Father Abraham afar off, he said unto him, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know what Abraham said to him? He said, excuse me, son, he goes, in your lifetime, remember that you received good things, and likewise, Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides this, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. You understand that even in eternity, as people look and they see a lost souls in hell, that they still have a desire to reach out for them in mercy and to help them. But God has made a great gulf that's fixed when we leave this life and go to the next. Can I tell you tonight, it's too late to experience the mercies of God. If you haven't already, you never will. And this man said, have mercy on me. And he said, no, remember, you denied it when you lived on this earth. So you'll never get it in eternity. Listen, your family members will not pray you into heaven. They will not pray you out of purgatory. They will not get baptized enough times so that you can switch your destination. You reject the mercy of God in this life, and you will experience His wrath and His torment and His punishment for all eternity. The Bible says, neither can you pass up to here. It's just too late. That's why it's so important that we don't mess around. That's why it's so important. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Yesterday we were out on the football field with the young married class, and they threw all the eggs out over the football field there, and all the kids ran to get them. And I guess there was a bag of candy left over. Mrs. Andrews had that bag of candy, and she was graciously going around to the kids and trying to give them more candy. And most of the normal kids, they took it. And then there's my son. I don't know what his deal is. She goes, here, Elijah, I want to give you some candy. He goes, no! I said, Elijah, you don't understand. She's trying to look at that. She's got a whole handful of candy. Get it. You know, I'll eat it. You know, just put it in. He goes, no! And he goes, I run away. I said, no. Oh, man, we got to work on this. You know, we're still trying to teach them. But you know, people who reject Jesus Christ, their Savior, the same way. God's done so much. He wants to give you a gift. He wants to give salvation to you. You say, no, I'll do it myself. No, I'm a good person. No, I've been baptized. No, I'm a church member. Listen, if that's what you're counting on, I feel sad for you. Because you'll never experience His mercy in this life or in eternity. Perhaps you're here tonight, and in times past you've denied the mercy of God. May I encourage you tonight, in just a few moments we'll have an invitation. We'll give you an opportunity to come speak to someone who can again show you how Christ extends that mercy to you. And instead of denying it tonight, would you accept it? Would you put it in your heart and believe it? We see mercy defined. We see mercy denied. May we also see mercy distributed. We understand tonight as a saved person, we cannot be selfish with this. It's been given to us, and we need to give it to someone else. So how can I show mercy in my life? How can I do this tomorrow morning when I wake up and I get ready and I get dressed and I go to work and people treat me the wrong way and people have used me in the past and there's people I don't really know and I don't know that I really want to get involved in their life and their issues and all the things. What am I supposed to do? Practical advice, letter A, do good to others. This is really deep here tonight, but hold on, catch it here. Do good to others. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That's the hard part. The doing good part is sometimes it's not so hard. But the fact that the Bible says that we need to do it to all men. And we have our list of people that we don't mind helping out. We have our list of people that we don't mind maybe even being our schedule being interrupted for them. But it's those people on this other list that sometimes need mercy so very much. And it's those people that God wants us to extend ourselves to take on their cause. Sometimes we can't do good. We can't show mercy because we're too busy waiting for someone to do good for us. We're always looking about ourselves.
We come in thinking, hey, who's going to be nice to me? Hey, who's going to do what for me? Instead of looking for someone else to show God's mercy to. It's one of the greatest signs of spiritual maturity that we would get our eyes off ourselves and look for someone else who has a greater need. We do good to other people. Mercy, make the case of another your own. Let her be a blessing. Again, God has been so good to us, instead of looking for how much you can get, or see if you can get a little extra, squeeze a little more out of the situation, we need to turn it around and look to see who it is that we can be a blessing to. Who it is that needs help. Who it is that's going through some challenging times. Who is it that needs our prayers? Be a blessing. Thirdly, don't be bitter or hold grudges. In Matthew chapter 18, we find perhaps one of the saddest stories when it comes to mercy that was not given. We find a man that owes some $1 million, and he goes before the creditor and he begs for him not to throw him in prison. He begs to be forgiven of his debt. And the man says, okay, I'll forgive you of your debt. And that man leaves that situation. He walks into another situation, and a man who just owes him a few dollars, he's harsh with him. He demands to be paid. He has him thrown into prison. And we think, man, did you just forget what, you know, are you the same guy that guy just forgave the $1 million, and you want this $15 from this guy? I don't understand. Because there was a lack of mercy. Instead, we should be like Joseph, who even after was mistreated and he was sold into slavery and put into prison and left for dead. Some years later, when he could have gotten revenge on his brothers, he recognized that he was in the place of God. King David, he could have taken Saul's life on numerous occasions, but he didn't, because he was committed to be merciful and allow God to be in control of the revenge. Don't be bitter against someone. Understand tonight, Dad, you know what your house may need more than anything is just a little bit of mercy from Dad. Again, we're not asking to condone sin. We're not asking to overlook things that need to be corrected. But what you may need, spouse, in your relationship is to quit hanging that stuff over their head and extend a little mercy and forget about it and get over it and ask God for His help. It's an evidence that the Holy Spirit is in control of my life when there is mercy extended to anybody, but especially those of our own household, especially those, the people that we go to church with. Church member, understand what people need when they sit next to you is not a callous remark, a critical tongue, or a condescending look. What they need is the mercy of God. And if we don't show it to them, who will? We see that mercy is given out. Finally, tonight may we see mercy deposited. Mercy deposited. The Bible says in our text, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This is the reward of mercy. The Bible says they shall obtain mercy. We see, first of all, the Bible promises there is a refreshing nurture to our soul. In the book of Proverbs it says, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." There's something inside of our soul that happens when we extend mercy to someone and we're kind to someone, may go out of our way and take on their cause and we're able to help them in just some small way. It's kind of a peace and a rest and a refreshment that comes to our soul, because we know it's not just that we did something good. It's not just, wow, look at me. But we've extended the mercy that God's given to us and it's totally undeserved, and we've given it to another person. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Sometimes we feel that revenge will be so sweet. And it usually is, until we taste it. But the Bible says quite the opposite, that mercy does good to the soul. Mercy is what tastes good, not revenge. It is refreshing in its nurture. It is reciprocal in its nature. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1 that we will be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You understand, there's a principle that governs itself, that God governs this world with, that you reap what you sow. And if we are merciful to others, if we extend God's mercy to us, God promises us that mercy will be extended to us as well. That's not the motivation why we do it, so we can get something back. But it is a benefit. It is a byproduct. It is a blessing of being merciful to others. And finally, we see the response of God. Very simply, if you show mercy, I'll show mercy. If you show kindness, I'll show kindness. Not from another person, but from the very throne of God. I want that in my life. I want to ask you this question. When is the last time you've ever heard, "Thank you so much for that meal. Thank you so much for that card. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for that godly advice. Thank you so much for caring. Thank you so much for coming." He said, "Pastor Matt, I really haven't been thinking about other people. I've kind of been kind of trapped the last few months in my own issues, my own problems, and really my mind hasn't been too much on other people." Perhaps you say, "You know, I've never really done that before. I've never really thought about it before. Maybe it's time that I think about how God can use me to be merciful." Or perhaps the response is, "You know, it's just been too long since I've heard those things." If that's the case, and you look back in your past and you really can't think of a time when you've extended yourself, taken on the cause of another, no wonder you're not happy tonight. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Let's pray.